Welcome to the season finale of the Draft Mulligan series here on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast, which already has a higher rating on Rotten Tomatoes than the season finale of Game of Thrones. Someone who looks like Benjamin Solak is sitting on both thrones, so that's good. At least you have that in common. I am Trevor Sikkema. Ben, are you excited that this is the last time that you ever have to say any of the names from anyone who is drafted in the 2019 NFL Draft?
We will literally never talk about these players again.
Ever. They will be like, ever.
Oh, wow. Are you guys sipping the tea on DK Metcalf's record-setting rookie season? I'm like, I don't even know who that guy is.
I haven't talked about DK Metcalf since May 23rd, 2019.
You did that math so fast.
It's not math. It's a calendar.
Yeah, okay. The counting. It's amazing.
No, we're never going to reference any of these guys again. This has been fun, though. I like this. I really like this exercise. Hope everybody else has kind of liked it, too. I hope everybody's kind of been doing their own draft mulligans because this has been a fun series for me to do. I know it's kind of tough doing all 32 NFL teams because there's always, you know, like Hakeem Butler and Amani.
And
you know, DeKalen, certainly like Chauncey Garner-Johnson. These are guys who we all really love.
DeKalen.
Like, yeah, you can put these guys on any team and it basically be good. But we got four DeKalen. Teams left. Yeah, we get it. we get it. You know his legal name.
I know what name his mama gave him.
Oh, Jacksonville Jaguars kicking us off for the final Draft Mulligan episode. The Jaguars went peak Jaguars and picked a defensive line player when they damn well didn't need to do it. They picked.
Oh, I disagree.
They picked Josh Allen at number 7. I guess we didn't really think that Josh Allen was going to make it to number 7. So you can think about this, think of this however you want. So Josh Allen went 7. They kind of then super lucked out, however you want to call it. I get maybe not lucked out because everybody passed on him for a reason, I guess. I don't know. Juwan Taylor in the 2nd round. Josh Oliver after that. They got the ultimate recruiting tool in Quincy Williams in the 3rd round. Reichwell Armstead, Gardner Minshew,
much longer.
Dontavious Russell. Oh, you switched to Quincy? Dude, you can't do that.
We have already talked about this.
How else are they going to get Quinnen Williams?
He's not. Trevor.
Quinnen's going to play his rookie contract out. The Jets are going to be a dumpster fire like we're already seeing they are.
That is true.
He's going to want to go play with his brother. And his brother's going to be like, yo, everybody in Jacksonville treating me like a king, man. Like, I got my own locker and, like, my own jersey.
Dude, they gave me a locker and everything.
And they gave me field passes, but they said I don't need one. They just said, here, put on this helmet. Just kidding. Don't put it on. You're not going to go in. You're not going to go in the game. We don't want to confuse you. And then Quinnen's going to be like, hell yeah,
so good.
Family reunion.
That nobody's like ever looked at Quincy before. That like Quincy's going to be starstruck by the fact that he's being treated like a human being. Oh, man.
All right, what'd you think of the people at the top? What'd you think of the let's touch on the Josh Allen, because I don't think either of us are changing the Josh Allen pick. Wait.
No.
Did I change the Josh Allen pick? Hold on, let me look.
Even if you didn't, I disagree that it's not a good idea. I thought that really they lose Dante Fowler and you don't have, you get him in trade. Like, it's not like you're losing him, you traded him. But you didn't really have that opposite edge, that other guy who could come off the outside, be the end man of line of scrimmage anymore, opposite Yannick Ngakoue. And I love Yannick Ngakoue. I think he's a great player, but you definitely want to have an alternative option to him off the other side. And Allen's really, really good for them in terms of his versatility. That's going to be really great in that Gus Bradley 4-3, it's not Gus Bradley anymore, it's Todd Walsh, but the system is still in place. Like, you know, Calais Campbell, Taven Bryant, like a lot of their other rushers are better on the inside right now. And so Allen just keeps the strength strong. It's like what they did with Taven Bryant last year. You prepare for the departure of Malik Jackson. Well, Josh Allen is a response to the departure of Dante Fowler. They're never going to let the defensive trenches run dry. I think that's the right way to go about it. So I like the Allen pick.
Yeah, in hindsight, they probably should have picked Devin Bush since Tevin Smith's not going to play this year. But, you know.
Well, right. And that's the interesting thing is, like, if you had asked me before the draft, like, any chance the Jaguars take a linebacker in the first 3 rounds, I would have said no.
Of course not.
Talvin Smith, Miles Jack, and I think a strong performance from last year's 7th rounder, Leon Jacobs. I thought Leon Jacobs was pretty good for them in the Sam position. And so it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I wonder how much they potentially anticipated with the Telvin Smith sudden retirement to us, given the fact that they did draft a linebacker in the top three rounds. I'm keeping it at linebacker because we know the Telvin Smith situation is what it is now. They definitely need another guy to run besides Miles Jack to be that run and chase Will. I think that's the best spot in the NFL for a guy like Blake Cashman, who went much, much, much further down, 157 as compared to 98. But Cashman, in a weak linebacker class with his athletic ability and with some really solid final season tape at Minnesota, I think there's a nice developmental upside there, as well as a good year one floor. Cashman is a pretty smart player who knows how to get around blocks, still growing, still developing, but a really nice foundational floor. And so I think he's ready to start. And so I gave them Blake Cashman to replace Telvin Smith at the Will.
Yeah, I'm switching the Quincy Williams pick too. So I just I just kind of wanted to make you sweat there. I actually like their first three picks. I really do. They're pretty good fits for everything that they need. And I even would have said, like, they could have used a running back, but I like Raekwon Armstead, I guess, for this team. So I wasn't going to change that either. The Williams pick is the easy one to switch out. When I look at this Jacksonville Jaguars team, I didn't really even think a linebacker because I was too distracted by their wide receiver room, which is
sure
Marquise Lee, D.D. Westbrook, D.J. Chark, Keelan Cole. So it's basically like three of the same exact players. And then Keelan
Cole.
And
D.J. Chark. Oh, disparaging D.J. Chark. How dare you?
So I'm giving him a wide receiver, and it's funny because I already referenced this in the beginning of the podcast that we give Hakeem Butler to everybody, but I'm giving him Hakeem Butler because I think Hakeem Butler would change this wide receiver room a little bit, make it look like it has more than two total options, give a little bit more diversity to it, certainly in size and even play style as well. So that's the direction that I would have gone. I also would have really liked J.J. Arcega-Whiteside on this team. So,
yes.
I mean, that's just kind of like a thought there. I don't get two mulligans, but like that's something I would have liked.
And also Arcega-Whiteside went like 40 picks earlier.
Yeah. Hello. That's why. Like I would have had to, I think I would have had to pick Arcega-Whiteside over Juwan Taylor when I looked. So,
yeah, and I wouldn't have done that.
Right, and I wouldn't have done that either. But I'm just saying that would have been I think that would have been a pretty cool fit for them there. But, you know, instead they're just going to have to woo Quinn and Williams. They're just going to have to stay towards the strategy and let it ride, I guess. Green Bay Packers, the next team that we're going with. Green Bay started off the draft with Rashawn Gary at 12. Bold. Then went Darnell Savage at 21. Traded up to get him. Also bold. Elgton Jenkins to kick off the second round. Jay Sternberger after that. Kingsley Kiki. Kadar Holloman. Dexter Williams. Ty Summers in the seventh round. And that's the class. Ben, what'd you think overall? I like the way that Green Bay attacked this draft, but I don't love a lot of the, well, two of the players I'm cool with. Two of the players I'm skeptical of, one of which I'm changing.
Yeah, so I tweeted this out like a week after the draft. But the more I think about it, just Rashawn Gary at 12 doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. And like Darnell Savage, I'm there. I think a little bit rich for him, but I'm there. If that's your safety, you'll get him. Elgton Jenkins, I'm 100% behind. Jay Sternberger, I'm 100% behind. Kiki makes more sense if you didn't draft Gary at 12, but you did. So, you know, and so like there's a lot that I like. Gary just confuses me. When you bring in Za'Darius Smith, who like is what Gary hopes to be, you know, like 75%. That comp is not a great comp, but like in terms of where he's going to line up and what he's going to do for you, yeah, like you hope Gary takes the Za'Darius Smith role. When you have Za'Darius, you have Mike Daniels, you have Dean Lowry, who I think is a really good third option behind Za'Darius Smith and Mike Daniels. Like, I just don't... How much does he see the field? And when he's seeing the field, is he really going to be that much more effective than your other options in year one? To the point where, are you just going to be force-feeding him snaps, you know? And, like, a rotation is always good. It's always good to have depth. But I think there are a lot better players than Rashawn Gary. And then I look at their stand-up nine tech, right? The real outside rushers. Mike Pettine, 3-4-4-3. There's some blurred lines there, but he likes to have stand-up outside guys. And you bring in Preston Smith, that's a good win. Kyler Fackrell, good production last year. I think it's total bupkis, right? I think it's a complete lie. I expect huge regression for Fackrell. Bro, I do not think he's that good of a player. But even if you like Fackrell, behind them, they've got nobody, right? They have so many of these tweener five-tech edges and just, like, outside rushing, like, the true, like, seven-technique, nine-technique stand-up positions. it's Preston Smith or bust to me. So Brian Burns at 16, I thought was a tremendous fit for the Packers. Mm-hmm. It was the guest mock pick for the Packers at 12. Loved it then, still love indeed. It to this day. I think he would have made a lot more sense. And so I think you can improve your rush depth while getting a better player who's has a clearer avenue to more snaps in Brian Burns over Rashawn Gary. So that's where I went.
Yeah, so out of the first four that I alluded to this earlier, the two that I liked are Darnell Savage and Jay Sternberger. I like those players. The two that I was skeptical of were Rashawn Gary and Elkton Jenkins. I'd chosen Burns, I think, a couple of times here in this Draft Mulligan series. That would have been a really good pick. I'm totally with you there. I'm in agreeance. But the one that I switched was actually in round two. I switched Elkton Jenkins, who I like. I like Elkton Jenkins. But Eric McCoy was still on the board.
Oh, so, okay. Like, I can rock with that.
That's a better pick to me. And I think that if you throw Eric McCoy in there, and the list reads Rashawn Gary, Darnell Savage, Eric McCoy, Jay Sternberger, I'm cool with that. You know what? Even if I don't love the Rashawn Gary pick, even though I think that they got to figure out where you're going to play him and how you're going to get the most out of him, I'm rocking with those other three guys, and that's a really solid day one and day two of the draft, which is where you're making most of your impact anyways. So that's one pick, and I think that Eric McCoy is just a better overall player. I think he's got better versatility. You can play him at guard. You can play him at center. I really like that, getting him and the more talented guy some chemistry with Aaron Rodgers as we kind of get towards Aaron Rodgers kind of the tail end of his career. I think he's 36 or 37 or something, and it's really hard to believe because it feels like Aaron Rodgers has been talked about for forever as being so good. Now we're all going to have to cope with, like, oh, what happens if he starts starting to decline? And so you obviously want to put that on the back burner as long as possible, and chemistry between the offensive line, especially the center, is a really good way to keep Aaron Rodgers upright and happy.
I like McCoy for them. Yeah, no, I like McCoy for them a lot. I'm very happy they invested in interior offensive line early, because I didn't think they were going to, but I thought that they needed to, and so I was pleasantly surprised with that. I would like this class a lot more if not for Gary at 12.
I mean, and it's fair. Yeah, we talked about that, and I think we both agree with that. We're staying in the division. We're going to the Chicago Bears now. Chicago did not have a lot of picks in this draft. David Montgomery was their first pick at the third round at pick 73. Calvin Ridley after that, or Kaven Ridley, sorry, which is Riley Ridley, which we figured out via Twitter. People yelling
learned.
At us.
Discovered.
Duke Shelley, got reprimanded, basically. Duke Shelley was after that. Kareth White. Steven Denmark. So it was only five picks for the Bears. Ben, do you think they did a good job of using those five picks?
Trivia, who was the only other team to make five selections, which is the lowest number in this year's draft?
Shoot, I know this.
It rhymes with the Schmeladelfia Beagles. Which, I mean, it's sad because both teams only made five picks, but only one team advanced past the NFC wildcard round of the playoffs. So, the Bears draft class. David Montgomery, okay. I think 73 is a good spot for him. The 200 guys, I'll be honest with you, the only one who I've seen significant tape on has been Kareth White, and I like that. I think that he can be a little juiced up, little gadget option for them. They obviously already brought in Cordero Patterson, so how many gadget touches do you have when you already have, like, Tariq Cohen, who is a video game as you're starting running back? I don't know, but getting weapons is never a bad idea. Shelley, I know some people like. It'll be interesting to see how much they want him to compete for a starting job, because let's not forget, this team lost Bryce Callahan in free agency. That was their starting nickelback, and he was a good one. And this team lost Adrian Amos in free agency, and he was their box safety who did some coverage stuff, and he was a good one.
Right.
So their overhang, their ability to cover tight ends and flex tight ends and big slots and slots, they lost a lot of that potentially. And so we'll be curious to see. That's actually the direction I went with their mulligan. I wanted to help address that problem. I thought the Riley Ridley pick was a luxury. I like Riley Ridley. I like him in the fourth round. But when you have a wide receiver room that's got Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Cordero Patterson, Riley Ridley, how many snaps are we getting our fourth round pick here? And really, how high is the ceiling for a guy like Ridley, who really has poor athletic ability, a very poor production profile? He's a trust the tape sort of a guy, and if you trust the tape on him, great. But I just don't think you needed him this badly. I look at Ugo Amadi, the safety out of Oregon, went six picks later to the Seattle Seahawks at 132. Amadi is a corner to safety convert, spent a ton of time over the nickel, over the slot, playing in man coverage for Oregon. Really, really fluid change of direction, great explosiveness. Special teams guy, he can give you returner ability, which obviously you have a great returner, Tariq Cohen, but if he's your primary back now that Jordan Howard's gone, you do not want him taking the extra hits of being a returner. It's easy to get injured on returns. And so I think that introducing another returner is an option they can take a look at. And so Amadi becomes the safety depth behind Ha-Ha Clinton Dix and Eddie Jackson. He challenges for the starting nickel corner job. He can do a lot of things for you. And you lost a lot of secondary players, so you need somebody with that versatility. Amadi over Riley Ridley.
I'm going to cheat here.
You cheater.
Because you cheated on the last podcast when you didn't change anything about the Tennessee Titans. And so
okay,
I'm
you know
cheating.
What? That's a good point.
And so I'm cheating by changing two things about the Bears draft. I didn't hate
them. I love our Mulligans series, my favorite series that we're doing.
Yes, I loved our series that you did last podcast with the Tennessee Titans, where you did nothing.
That was good. I thought the audio cut out. Oh, man, you got me with that one. All right, hat tip to you.
Okay, so I actually don't mind Montgomery and Ridley as the two picks for them, but if I'm doing this different, I've got to keep the same mindset, and I've just got to switch it up. I would have rather had Hakeem Butler in the third round if I'm the Chicago Bears, and then in the fourth round, take a running back and take Jordan Scarlett there. So, like, if I'm doing that duo... I'm flipping where they take him. So I'm taking Hakeem Butler, the wide receiver, up at the top in the third round, and I'm taking Jordan Scarlett in the fourth round.
Wow. Imagine making the Browns draft class worse.
The Browns draft class?
Or Bears. Dang it, that didn't work. Oh, man.
Boy,
I lost this one.
Imagine not knowing what we're talking about on your own podcast. It's fine.
Bear down, folks. Hey, shout out Cleveland, 2021 NFL draft, though.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. I'm very excited. I'm very excited. As a lifelong Browns fan, I cannot wait to go back home.
I can confirm that I'm feeling dangerous.
With my people. Indianapolis Colts, the very last team that we're doing for this Draft Mulligan series. They picked Rockison at the top of the second round, pick number 34. That was their first pick. Ben Banigou in the second round. Paris Campbell. Robert Okereke, not Bobby, Robert, Kari Willis, Marvell Tell, EJ Speed, Jerry Green, Jackson Barton, Javon Patterson.
There's a 100% chance EJ Speed becomes good, right?
I mean, EJ Speed, he's a linebacker, so that already threw me for a loop. I would have figured he would have been some sort of a skill position player.
Used to be. Used to play wide receiver.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah. No,
maybe that
right,
means 0% chance he becomes good.
Yeah, we're good. No, we're good.
Because
we're good.
He had a name like EJ Speed, and he wasn't good at wide receiver.
All right, who are we changing?
I had the Colts draft mulligan. It was the last one that I had to do in our written series. And I made Colts fans very upset. So I'm here to clear the air. I moved on from Rockison, who was the selection at 34, and selected Greedy Williams at 46. I, in discussing these picks, brought up the fact that the Colts run more Tampa 2 coverage, more cover 2, middle of the field open coverage than almost any other team in the league. I believe it's more than any team in the league. I brought up the fact that that protects their corners, and it's the easiest coverage for corners to play. I brought up the fact that that will protect Yasin at the next level. I also brought up the fact that Greedy Williams fell because he's a picky tackler who doesn't love contact, and he can pick his spots and he can fall asleep late in plays, but when he's on, he's on. Colts fans proceeded to tell me that their defense cannot work unless corners are willing to come up and tackle, and their defense needs corners to tackle. Item one, I'm here to tell you that all 32 defenses in the league don't work if the corners don't tackle. I mean, that is not exclusive to you guys. I'm sorry, but corners being picky tacklers is not a new thing, and and offenses trying to make corners tackle because they're picky tacklers is also not a new thing. Yeah, so that's a big point there. The second thing being, you know, the Colts prioritize high motor guys and high effort guys, and they would never bring in Greedy Williams because he had those issues in college. Listen, I hear you, but there's a point at which the talent of a player overcomes the warts that you don't like. And obviously, if if the Colts just didn't like Greedy and they met with him and he wasn't, then that's fine. But to me, on the outside, Greedy's talent is so much so better than Yasin's at this current juncture in their career that you select Greedy Williams and you take on the risk, because you can run as much Tampa 2 as you want. You will not get deep into the playoffs running that coverage. Patrick Mahomes will eat that alive. Tom Brady will eat that alive. Phillip Rivers will eat that alive. It is a soft coverage. There's a reason it's fallen out of style. You ran it to protect your corners because you didn't have good ones last year. That's why I drafted one with your first pick. And you drafted a guy who needs development, who still needs to be protected, idiot sin. Take Greedy Williams. He's far more talented. He can actually play in man coverage without drawing a ton of penalties. He can play with his back to the football and still get pass breakups. He's much more pro-ready than Yasin is. He's a tremendous cover man. You will quickly forget the tackles he gets picky on, the ankles he goes and nibbles at and bites instead of laying a hit, when you see him turn out multiple interceptions for you, when you see him turn out multiple pass breakups. Take Greedy Williams. He's a better player at the end.
Ben, what is what's the most important position on defense?
Trevor, that would be edge, brother.
That would be edge. I didn't love the edge player that they picked in at the beginning of the second round. I like Manningu's upside, but I would not have picked him at 49. I would have picked him like at 89. Okay, you could have got him there. Instead, the player that they should have picked at 49 is one Ja'Kai Polite. They should have picked Ja'Kai Polite at 49. And I don't know the relationship that he had with Ballard or with the coaches or how that meeting went or anything like that. But I'm talking just pure football player and how that from what I know of any of the situation, that would have been the better player to pick at 49. That's who I would have gone with. I like the edge idea. I like them prioritizing that after them getting their corner, even though you can debate, as you just have, about Rocky Sin. If I'm switching anybody, I'm switching the edge position. I'm getting a better edge player in there. I'm picking Ja'Kai Polite.
Thoughts? I like how we both just found, like, problematic character guys, and we replaced them for, like, you know, upstanding football guys. And we were like, hey, Indianapolis, just get riskier. But listen,
oh, Polite 100%.
Plus Kamoko Touré. Polite plus Touré is the slipperiest? Is that the superlative we want? Like, that's just the...
For who? Who's slippery? Most,
Polite plus Kamoko Touré.
Oh,
their
second
round pick from last year, the Rutgers kid. That amount of just, like deceit, like reduction of surface area, slipperiness, whatever you want to call it.
How you just said the word deceit?
Well, it's both of those players just have that inherent knack, that quality that's very difficult to teach and it's very difficult to transcribe into the written word, but they just make tackles miss. They just, in really tight phone booths, slink around you in ways that aren't regular. So that's a lot of fun, that pairing. And Banigu has a little bit of that, but he's got to suss it out a lot more. This is a great pairing. Yeah, if Polite and Greedy pan out, we just fix the Colts. But that's a big ifs.
And that's all of them. That's
every
it.
Team.
Every three. 32 up, 32 down. Draft mulligans. Team saved. GMs, well, Mike Maccagnan didn't make it. I was going to say GMs are saved, but... Mike,
we lost one in the middle of the series.
You ever lose a man before, son? Yeah, we did. We did. Back in the draft mulligan series 2019, we lost him. We lost Mike. RIP. He was a good man. Didn't deserve this.
Good soldier.
I don't think anybody deserves Adam Gase at this point. We got a Fan Friday coming up tomorrow. Super excited about it because I even had people tweet at me middle of the week this week. They were listening to, I don't know if it was the first time they were listening to the Fan Friday or if they went back and listened to it. They were wanting to get questions in. So we're going to ask this on Twitter. Ben's Twitter handle, my Twitter handle, the Draft Network's Twitter handle. We're going to send out asking questions for Fan Friday. Get a ton of them in there. This is as fun as you guys are going to make it. We will answer whatever questions that you have for as much as that we have time for. I think we went like 50 minutes last week.
We didn't prove that last week.
The door is wide open. The door is wide open for you guys to make the show whatever you want. I'm very excited about it. Until then, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.